Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Wednesday. It's March 6th. We've got 28 degrees currently here in Old Town Park City, reporting 31 degrees in the Heber Valley. On the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, meteorologist Thomas Giboy. Good morning.
Morning, Leslie. Happy Wednesday to you. We're halfway through the week, and today we're kind of doing a little flip-flop from what we saw yesterday morning, where we had snow showers in the Wasatch back south of I-80, including Park City. But this morning, the bulk of the showers that we have seen have been along and north of the I-80 corridor. With that being said, though, we'll be looking at a chance of snow showers continuing in the Wasatch back as we go through today, roughly a 50-50 chance. So don't be surprised if you find snow, and also don't be surprised if you get through the day either with partly to mostly cloudy skies. And with the temperature coming in right around 40 degrees in Park City, if we do cash in on some wet weather during the course of the afternoon, there's even a chance that we could see a wintry mix, while down in Heber, we'll see a daytime high coming at 43. So we'll be looking at a relatively unsettled day today, otherwise partly to mostly cloudy, with that daytime high of 40 degrees in Park City. That chance of snow drops a little bit as we move into tonight, but we won't be able to completely eliminate it with a 1 in 3 or 30% chance, with the overnight low dropping to 24 degrees. And then for our Thursday, the system works across the Beehive State, so this one will have a little bit more energy to go along with the moisture that we have, which will result in a slight uptick in the chance of snow showers, with a 60% chance on our Thursday, with the daytime high coming in at 38. And I think for our Thursday, we'll be looking at a decent chance more or less from the morning through most of the afternoon. But by tomorrow evening into tomorrow night, that storm system begins to clear, some cooler air will begin to settle in, and we'll be looking at calmer conditions as we go into this weekend. It's just going to be chilly on Thursday night as we drop the 16. Then the daytime high on Friday only comes in right around freezing in Park City, just a little bit above, with a high of 33 under mostly sunny skies. Hopefully that's a nice bluebird day to enjoy a little bit of the fresh snow that we'll see over the next couple of days, where we could see maybe a few more inches up in the mountains. Then on Saturday and Sunday, high pressure will be in control, and with our winds returning out of the south, we're going to be warming up pretty quickly. We'll see a daytime high of 41 degrees on Saturday, and we actually could see mid-40s in the Wasatch back on Sunday, with a high of 45 in Park City, maybe even sneaking into the upper 40s in places like Heber. Then as we move into next week, high pressure moves out of the way, and we'll bring back a chance for wet weather for both Monday and Tuesday. But with those daytime highs still right around 40 degrees, there is a chance that we see times of snow and times of a wintry mix, Leslie.
Thomas, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
KPCW News Time now, 8:08. And with a look in the backcountry on the phone with us from the Utah Avalanche Center, we have Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. For today, we're looking at an overall moderate avalanche danger on mid and upper elevation steep terrain, where it will be possible for people to trigger 1 to 2 foot thick, soft, and hard slabs of wind-drifted snow. The avalanche danger is low in our lower elevation terrain for wet snow avalanches coming in with those warming temps this afternoon. Yesterday, we had a few reports of sensitive, soft wind drifts of snow along the ridgelines, and then one close call in the Little Pine area of Little Cottonwood Canyon.
Okay. Hey, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Also, day number 3 of the KPCW Winter Pledge Drive. We're going to be welcoming the folks from Deer Valley in just a minute. But first, let's get an update from KPCW General Manager Renee Miller.
Good morning, Leslie. We continue to have a record-breaking pledge drive, which is the great news. The not-so-great news is that we still have at least another $150,000 to raise in the next 2 days. And the number of donations we were hoping to get, we wanted 1,000 donations. We're behind on that average as well. That's 250 donations a day. Day one, we had 181 donations. Day two, we had 183 donations. So we've got a lot of making up to do on that donation count. We know that only 10% of the people who listen to public radio actually donate to public radio. So if you're one of those folks who really likes our local news service, or perhaps our intentionally eclectic but carefully curated playlist, please consider making a donation in the next 2 days. We're here this morning with the Deer Valley folks. They have a surprise I think they're going to throw out there, something that they walked in the door with. So we're excited to do that, hear about that. And the number to call, if you can call right now, make a donation, the volunteers are ready to go. The number is 435-649-9004.
Again, we're looking for 40 calls this hour. Again, we really want to stay on track. Again, as she mentioned, we are, 20, 70, 140 calls short in terms of donations. Again, looking for that 1,000 members to join KPCW. But first, let's welcome Vice President of Marketing at Deer Valley, Susie English, along with Jacep Musa, the Vice President of Food and Beverage. Welcome back. Glad to see you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. 435-649-9004. Also, a big thank you to our phone volunteers this morning. Marlene Peacock, once again, heading things up there. We also have Katarina Erlinger, Betsy Moore, Frank Mitchell, Deb Hartley, Bill Lassar, Allison Keenan helping out. Also with Sally Renderconnect and Airby Leary. So thanks so much again for the volunteers that put in big hours here to help make things go real smooth. Again, 37 more calls, 435-649-9004. Well, let's start with the good news here, and that, of course, is as of February 29th, you guys set brand new record snow total.
We did. So we just had the snowiest February on record. So we had 126 inches. It's crazy because the winter was a little slow to start, as we all know, snow-wise. And so I think there's this perception still a little bit like, oh, there's not as much snow, especially after last year. We have so much snow. And the skiing's just really amazing, soft, and so nice everywhere. So it's been a fun month.
Yeah, we have not yet hit that 100-inch base yet, where we're just like hovering just so close, just inches away.
Yeah, we just surpassed 300 inches for the season. Yeah. And I keep watching that base every day. We're so close.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think March is actually the snowiest month of the year, traditionally.
Yep. Traditionally, so we'll see. And obviously this weekend was very snowy and stormy, and so hopefully we get to continue that.
Okay, so that's great for you as marketing, right? You can push that out, huh?
It makes the marketing job a lot easier when there's snow, for sure.
435-649-9004. Let's get to, I know that you've got some thank yous in front of you, so let's get to those. Jacep, you want to give us a couple?
Absolutely. So thank you from Susie Honigman. Please add to Deer Valley contributors. Just saw this earlier hour and have been an employee for the last 20 years.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Susie. And then the next one is from Don and Kathy Cole. Thank you for supporting our Friends of Ski Mountain Mining History Pledge, our hour earlier this week, with appreciation. The ongoing support we set from Deer Valley top reserve our mining history.
Yeah.
That's Don and Kathy Roll. Yeah, our volunteers write quickly. So thank you, Don and Kathy Roll.
And then I have one from Luther and Lucinda Creed. No message, but thanks for the donation.
We sure appreciate it. 435-649-9004. Tell me about the surprise that you guys walked in with, besides the snow total.
Yeah, so we have Taste of Luxuries returning this year, and we said, you know what, let's go ahead and donate two VIP tickets to the dinner on the April 7th. So we have Sylvia Baracci, unbelievable chef from Tuscany, coming in for four events, three dinners, and a cooking class. The value is $800, roughly, for tickets for two, and we're going to give those away for the caller that wants to donate $600.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about Sylvia Baracci.
Yeah, so she's a Michelin star chef out of Tuscany, has a few restaurants in Tuscany, and we've been looking for a very powerful female chef to come. We've had so many male chefs from Europe coming in and doing these tastes of luxuries, from Giancarlo Morelli to Massimo Bottura, and Chef Baracci was super interested. She's so outgoing. Very, very popular in Tuscany, and she's just a life in the dining room. So,
yeah. So when we think about traditional Tuscan cuisine, what does that mean?
She's a very rustic chef. So, handmade pastas, truffles. She's bringing olive oil and truffles from her hometown, and she's really going to feature a lot of the ingredients that she grew up with. While she's also going to feature some of the best ingredients we can get here in Utah. So, elegant but a little bit rustic at the same time.
Sounds delicious. Again, so we've got two pairs, is that correct?
Or two tickets.
Two tickets, okay. Mm-hmm. So one pair,
yep.
$600 contribution. How have those dinners been going for you? You've had a couple of them?
Yeah, really well. This is our fifth series from Taste of Luxury. Once we started posting the tickets for sale, the cooking class started to sell quick, right? That's a super cool experience. You don't get a lot of opportunities to bump elbows with a Michelin star chef and take some of their recipes home. But they're going really, really well. So it's something that the staff loves to do. They learn a lot. We get some secrets from unbelievable chefs and get to use those at Deer Valley and some of the trade secrets. And the guests they keep asking, when's the next one? When's the next one? So we just launched the tickets earlier, I think last week. End of last week, and they're on fire. It's going really well.
And okay. Jacob, a quick question about that. It says from April 5th to 7th, so you pick one of those nights to go?
The dinner on this, we're donating two tickets for the 7th.
Okay. Two tickets for April 7th, mm-hmm. And it's a VIP reception, six-course dinner, and a cooking class.
It just sold.
Amazing.
Don't blame them. Yeah.
I was trying to hang this up.
It didn't even. Yeah.
Our director of development, Sarah Irvin, just came in and was like, it's gone.
And that's how hot those tickets are. So
that's right.
Get online and have a look at the tickets that are still available.
Thank you.
All right. So what else have you got coming up in terms of that? You've had five.
We've had five. So this is our fifth one. Uh-huh. So that's all we have currently in the books. We'll definitely do another summer-themed one, probably around July. We had a phenomenal chef from Kansas City who specializes in barbecue. He's definitely going to come back for something this summer because it was so popular. We just kind of book those as we see with the demand and what our guests are looking for. But outside of the Taste of Luxury, we have tons of stuff happening all the time in food and beverage.
So as you kind of think after being with Chef Baracci, mm-hmm. what would something like that look on your menu? Some baked pasta or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, at Cast and Cut, right, our seafood dining mm-hmm. experience, we took something from Massimo, which is the Parmesan wheel cheese, the huge wheel. We board it out in front of our guests. We flame it with a torch, and we cook pasta inside. We finish pasta inside that wheel of cheese. So that's something we took from Massimo. Mm-hmm. We do special events or like Savor the Summit, the way we do our desserts, where we have seven or eight people walk around and hit the tables at the same time with tons of little desserts. Chef Bobo Cheria did that for our first Taste of Luxury. So things like that that we pull from the chefs that we have fun doing and the guests really have fun experiencing, we'll take those and do them throughout Deer Valley.
Okay. We're talking with Susie English and Jacob Musit with Deer Valley. You're listening to the local news hour here. We do have a couple of interviews. We'll be checking in with Assistant City Managers Sarah Pierce and Jennifer McGrath. Later on, retired Air Force Colonel and local resident Frank Fuzzy Fur. He'll be the guest speaker for the Park City Library's local speaker series next week. But please call in. Keep those pledges coming. 435-649-9004. And thanks. Well, the Park City Council meets Thursday in the studio with a meeting preview. I have Assistant City Managers Jen McGrath along with Sarah Pierce. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jen, I believe you can tell us what is the latest with the Mark bubble. As we heard, high winds kind of just broke it, huh?
Yeah, thank you for asking. As you said, due to a power outage and high winds this weekend, the bubble did sustain some significant damage and is down. First, I just want to say how grateful we are that no one was hurt. Second, big shout out to our MARC and facilities teams. They identified the issue quickly. They secured the area to ensure safety. And they reached out to folks who planned on using the facility so that people wouldn't show up and be surprised that it wasn't available. And then third, it won't be playable for the foreseeable future. It has two spots where it's torn. Both of those run north-south with one nearly the length of the courts. The situation is tough for tennis and pickleball. Space is significantly reduced for both. For pickleball, there are four courts available for them to play in the gymnasium. That's where all lessons, clinics, and much of the open and drop-in play happens during the winter months. And just a reminder, for safety reasons, we are asking people to avoid the area until further notice, and we'll continue to update people on the issues, and we really appreciate everybody's patience and cooperation as we work through issue.
So the shell is still like stuck there?
It's there. Yeah. We're still in sort of the initial phases of assessing the situation and trying to figure out what the path forward looks like.
Okay, so we don't know if we can repair it or not. Do we need to buy new?
You know, the bubble is, I think, nearly 20 years old, and our team again, I'm going to give a shout out to our team for doing just an incredible job of maintaining it. I think it's kept in like a temperature secure location when it's not in use. They take really good care of it, but it's probably somewhere between 1 and 5 years out from its useful life. So we want to do an assessment and see whether or not repairs are warranted or if we need to go in a different direction. We just don't have those answers yet.
Okay. My guess insurance would cover it.
Again, it's too soon to know.
All right, Sarah, work session on Thursday starts at 3 o'clock with an update from UDOT on the Kimball Junction Environmental Impact Study. So why is this something Park City is interested in getting an update on?
Well, it is one of our major corridors, and whatever happens at Kimball Junction definitely affects all of us. So I would strongly encourage the community to tune in. I believe UDOT gave a presentation to the Summit County Council last night, and then they're going to be, tonight, they'll be at Summit County Council, so you could tune in there, and then they'll be giving the same presentation to the City Council on Thursday night. They're presenting two ideas for alleviating some of the traffic congestion at Kimball Junction. And they're looking for feedback. There's a public comments session that's open right now through March 27th. And the public is really encouraged to, lean into that, give your comments, let UDOT know what you think. And this is, one step in many. They're going to go back and look at those comments that they receive and then do another round of study and come back in the spring, summer of this year for another round of council presentations and another round of public comments. So there's lots of opportunity to engage, but I encourage people to get in there and pay attention to it now.
Okay, one of the choices was drop. That was kind of the dropped highway.
Right.
So we're looking at just two. Does Park City Municipal have a preferred alternative here?
We haven't determined that yet. We're looking forward to the presentation and getting, finding out what council thinks, and I'm sure they'll have questions for UDOT, and we'll go from there.
All right. Then at 3:30, special events policy update. Any big changes from years past here?
No big changes. We are seeing the amount of event permit applications kind of come back to the levels where they were pre-COVID, which is exciting. And I think everyone loves a good event, but also loves the balance of having that time just to ourselves without the hordes of visitors in town. So there's a balance that we're always trying to achieve there. But mostly there's just some cleanup we want to do in the code. We want to review the 2024 event calendar with council. Looking ahead, we want to move forward on a long-term RFP for a drone show for the 4th of July. We're also going to discuss the possibility of increasing the special event application fee just to make sure that we're keeping up with costs. We need to make sure those are covered.
All right. Also during the regular meeting, council will have a look back at the stats for the 2023 transit year. So what were the highlights here?
A big highlight is that our ridership for 2023 was up 10% from 2022, so year over year. And we're getting really close to our pre-COVID numbers, which is great. It's so great that people are back on the bus, and that helps us with all of our traffic. We are slightly down on our on-time reliability, and I think most people know, where there's a lot of competition on our very small roads for traffic, cars, buses, everybody's in the same lanes. And so when there's a lot of traffic or a lot of snow conditions, the buses are going to get behind schedule. We do everything we can to alleviate that. We're still really excited about the two bus routes that are coming from Richardson Flat to both resorts. Those have done really well this year, and we're very encouraged by that. And having those transit shoulder priority lanes on 248 has been incredibly helpful.
Yeah, I was going to note, you say that we're down just below the 2019 year, which was a previous record high. That point, though, we didn't have those Richardson Flat routes, right?
Right.
So that has helped bring the numbers up, but still less people riding somewhere else, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Mm-hmm. I haven't really dug into the numbers to do that correlation, but that's possible.
Yeah. And then where do we need improvements? You say on time, but that's just a reflection of the traffic in town. But we do still see regular decrease of service or elimination of routes just due to staffing shortages.
Yeah, and I think we've done better this year than last year in that on that front. We're constantly looking for ways to recruit staff and retain staff, and one of the biggies was salary, and we've done some good work on that. The other big one is housing, and that is a constant struggle. You know, the drivers ideally would be living up here so that they can, you know, do those early morning and late night shifts, and we're constantly trying to get creative about how to solve that housing issue.
All right, Dan, Jen, later on a discussion on undergrounding the electrical transmission lines on Bonanza Drive. So is it feasible and is it affordable?
Yeah, great questions. This is a project I'm actually pretty excited about as one of the project managers for one of the studies that's going on in the area. This is obviously of great interest. In November, the council approved a feasibility study between us and Rocky Mountain Power to relocate and underground the existing transmission lines in the area. If the lines are relocated, it would remove easements from both the cemetery and the Park City-owned Bonanza Park parcel. Today, if you drive on Kearns near the intersection with Bonanza, you'll see the large transmission poles and the lines that cross the cemetery and the Bonanza Park parcel that tie into that substation. These transmission lines come from the Bear Hollow substation near the Utah Olympic Park, so quite a ways away. And they're high-power electricity lines, so they have different requirements than the distribution lines that you see on the smaller wooden poles in the city. They have a required 60-foot setback restriction, so this impacts, obviously, the city-owned parcel at Bonanza Park and the cemetery. And in terms of what we're trying to solve with the feasibility study, we are looking at what is it going to cost to relocate the lines from their current alignment to a new alignment and to underground them. Again, doing so would remove the 60-foot easement from our properties, and what that means for us is it creates more than 40 burial plots at the cemetery, which is currently sort of maxed out. It also allows for a lot more flexibility in planning the Bonanza Park area, and it would remove the transmission lines from along Boot Hill as well. As you mentioned or alluded to, undergrounding the cables can be expensive, so we want to be efficient in the way that we select the routes. The study is looking at that. And we can't really relocate the lines above ground without getting new easements from other landowners, so that's why the council wanted to really look at the undergrounding option.
Okay.
So the study will give us an estimated lead times on custom equipment that are needed to accomplish the project. Some of these items can take up to a year or longer to procure. So we're really looking forward to hearing from Rocky Mountain Power once that study gets wrapped up.
Let's move on to that Gordo property discussion. The council wants to release an RFP here that would clean up the mine soils that were temporarily stored there, also possibly build a park and ride. How many cars are we talking about?
Well, I think we're a little far out ahead of ourselves on that question right now. Tomorrow night, the staff is going to review council's recent direction regarding the Gordo site. We're going to review past concepts and, you know, potential future uses. We're going to be giving the council an update on and a progress report on the current status of the city's soil remediation program and what the next steps on that might be. Additionally, the update is going to review the potential for, as you mentioned, a regionally significant parking and transportation infrastructure project on the site, along with potential other uses. And just as sort of an exciting side note, in terms of the soil information, the city entered into a voluntary program with DEQ in the fall of 2022, and there's been a thorough investigation done of the site, and our corrective action plan was actually approved by DEQ in February. This is the document that outlines how the city will remediate the site. So tomorrow night, the staff will seek confirmation from council to continue with the soils remediation plan, and will also seek direction from council on potential next steps once the soil remediation is complete.
Okay, and then just real quick on the legislative update, we'll have to do a more in-depth here, but I know the city was keeping tabs on whether Matthew Prince was working on getting anything through the state legislature in the event that the Planning Commission denied his application. So what happened there? Did he get something through?
I'm not aware of any legislation that is related to the Princes.
Okay. All right. I got to leave it there. Ladies, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
That's Jen McGrath and Sarah Pierce. Assistant City Managers for Park City Municipal. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. It's 8:32. And welcome back again. Day number three of the KPCW Winter Pledge Drive. I'm Leslie Thatcher, along with Renee Bodley. We also have from Deer Valley, Susie English and Jacob Music, working on a call goal of 40, and we still about 30 short. 435-649-9004. But let's thank those who folks who have called in.
Great. So Jamie Johnson, thank you to Leslie for keeping us informed every morning. Please never retire.
Thanks, Jamie.
You're here. David Hanscom, Leslie is my favorite. Love listening to her every morning.
Thanks,
and
girl.
Joe and Barbara Morelli, KPCW team, we love you.
Thanks, Morellis. Love you back.
I got a couple right here. Art Marshall, thank you so for all that you do. Many great shows that support the community.
Thanks, Art.
Cindy and Steve DiRiosa. Cindy and I appreciate all KPCW does from our community. And then from a good friend of ours, Georgia Anderson. Georgia is a Deer Valley employee who says a special thanks to the resort. And Georgia used to be a KPCW DJ.
She did.
Her radio name was Rhonda Joe Stingray.
Yep.
And when she gets spicy at work, we sometimes call her that.
Did you? And she's a long time. I don't know. She's been there...
Before the lips were turning.
Since the beginning. We're so lucky to have her.
She's our rock star.
Awesome. 435-649-9004. Let's talk a little bit about food. What am I? No. Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about food.
Let's
I know we started. You've got extensions that you wanted to announce?
Yeah, so we are planning on closing Fireside Dining at the end of March, and we extended it one more week through April 6th, which is the Saturday. The demand is high. People want to get in there, and we get phone calls all the time. We said, you know what? The snow is deep. Let's keep going. So you can check out Fireside all the way through April 6th, and reservations on the website.
Can I ask a strategy question about Fireside?
Sure.
What's the best way to make sure that you can get in? Because it seems like I'm always too late to make a reservation. Do I need to call in, like, October to get my Fireside? Reservations?
So actually, when we launch reservations in the fall, right before ski season starts, it's
early November.
Yeah, it's the first restaurant to go. So before you make your Thanksgiving plans, make your Fireside plans.
You heard it here. Breaking news on your local radio station. If you want to go to Fireside, especially if you're planning on having guests in from out of town, it's a fun experience for them. Don't eat at all that day until you go to Fireside Dining. And you know what? Explain real quick what Fireside is. Maybe there are people out there who aren't sure how it works.
Sure. So up at Empire Canyon Lodge, right next to the Montage, it's a evening restaurant that has horse-drawn sleigh rides out front, and the dining experience is one of our higher-end dining experiences. The server takes care of your beverages and your wines and cocktails, and then you actually get up your table and you hit every single different fireplace that we have. We have raclette cheese melting on the fireplace. We have lamb and elk being cooked over the fireplace, soups and stews. We have a dessert station where we have chefs that are actively cooking and making things in front of our guests. And it's kind of an all-you-can-eat experience where you go to all the fireplaces and just indulge in the best of mountain cuisine.
So are there reservations available?
There are reservations available.
Okay.
Yes. And since we extended it, there are still pretty good pockets of dining availability on that last week.
All right. 435-649-9004. Let's talk a little bit about the on-mountain activations with your fire and ice and beer trailers.
Yeah, so for the summer concert series last summer, we invested in some really cool beer trailers, and we've actually been able to put them on the mountain this winter. So throughout the whole weekend, Friday through Sunday, at all the locations, Silver Lake, Snow Park, and Empire, there will be beer trailers there with local beer on tap, including Offset right here from Park City. But then also this weekend, this is our third year in a row we've been working with Whispering Angel, Belvedere, and LVMH, and we will have the fire and ice activation at Silver Lake all 3 days throughout this weekend. Where we'll have a 10-foot ice bar, we'll have culinary selections outside, and we'll be making cocktails and drinking Whispering Angel with some entertainment.
All right, and apparently you also have an Airstream up there for the
We will for the following weekend, so this is also our third year working with High West. We bring the Airstream, the bar that they built on the trailer, the Airstreamer. That'll be out there. We're custom engraving items from High West for the guests that attend. We'll have live entertainment, cocktails, fire pits, whiskey s'mores, all kinds of things happening over there. And it's the third year, and it's a fan favorite.
Okay, sounds fun. 435-649-9004. Let's talk about the expansion plans, because it sounds like you're going to open this up to people.
Yeah, so we have been getting out into the expanded terrain. It's been really, really exciting for all of us, because I think we've talked about it before. When you're on 40 and you look up, you don't see that much terrain, right? And it feels pretty low elevation and low angle. When you get up there and you go off a bald and drop in, the terrain is amazing. So we're focused on staff now. We're actually running staff tours through all of our team, anyone that wants to ski and sign up. And then our plan is to roll that out broader. We're working through that plan, community kind of VIPs and media probably first. And so we'll have more follow-up there. But our goal is to get people out there and see what actually is out in those mountains, because it's really amazing.
Mm. Is it, are you grooming over there, or is it just going to be just...
Yeah, so our mountain ops team, Steve Graff, who leads that team, and Garrett Ling have been taking their patrollers and our snowcat operators and quite a few of the mountain ops team out there to, first and foremost, learn the terrain, right? We're going to have to operate it in a year, 2 years, whatever that time frame looks like. And it takes time to figure out where trail signs go and where patrol needs to be and where there needs to be avalanche mitigation. So that's been a big focus. But then the snowcat drivers are going out there. There's some beautiful ridges that they've been grooming. And we're actually able to run a tour with our staff that you drop off the back of Bald, so off of Homeward Bound, which is the run that comes around and you can see over into Heber. And you ski down this amazing groomed run and you cut back in to the bottom of the Mayflower Lift. So it's a pretty easy tour for us to run for the staff, because it doesn't actually involve snowcats. We groom the terrain, but it's a pretty quick, easy way for us to get people out there to see it.
So do you think that's going to happen this season or going to start next winter?
You know, I think I don't know for sure. We're trying to push it, and we're operating a resort at the same time we're trying to like venture out and explore this new terrain. So it's been a bit of a balance, especially for the mountain ops team. But the hope is we can start getting some people out there this March. We have enough snow, which was a concern early season with no snowmaking. So we'll keep you posted, because I think it's going to be a pretty exciting opportunity.
Yeah, and you may have seen this. I mean, there's a lot of chatter on social media this recently about perhaps installing a chairlift or a gondola for the expanded area out of Wasatch Mountain State Park. I mean, what we heard from Dustin Graybow, Wasatch County Manager, yesterday was that it's certainly a possibility, but not on any plans at this point?
Yeah, it's not part of our plan. And there's a lot of chairlifts and gondolas that are part of our plan, and that's not one of the ones that we're currently talking about. Be pretty cool, but I have no idea the feasibility or timeline, if it was even on the radar.
Okay. How would people find out about the expanded terrain tours?
We'll do a big push. And again, probably pretty local heavy. So all of you listening will know first. Use some social and website and email, and probably come to you. KPCW.
Okay. Yeah. Can't wait to hear. And again, have you guys kind of figured out in terms of employees, the number of employees that you're going to need to staff that expanded terrain?
Yeah, so we have a new staff member, Dan Gregory, who just started with us 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago maybe. His sole role is organizational design. He's been an awesome resource. That's been his whole career, kind of outside of the ski industry, but within the outdoor industry space. And so, again, 2,000 employees, I think, fully staffed over there. It will be added to our current staff. But that rolls out in phases, right? And so right now he's really focused on trying to figure out immediate needs for next winter, the following winter, what teams are most impacted, patrol, lift maintenance, the mountain ops team, food and beverage, depending on what we're operating. Recruiting, right? Our recruiting team probably needs to grow. Our marketing team probably needs to grow, right? Like, with that much more terrain. So Dan has been really fascinating to work with. And so it's a big focus of ours right now.
435-649-9004.
Leslie, I just wanted to take this second to kind of illustrate how this is a perfect example of how KPCW serves their community. You hear from your local resorts about plans for expansion and lifts, but we also bring you national news from NPR every hour at the top of the hour. We have some breaking news. As predicted this morning on Morning Edition, Nikki Haley has suspended her presidential campaign, and she has not endorsed Trump. Of course, we'll hear more from NPR at the top of the hour. Again, you hear NPR News at the top of every hour on KPCW. So we bring you that blend of national and local news every day. And people tend to think that NPR has a bias. If you have heard something you think is overtly biased on NPR, please let me know. Just email gm@kpcw.org. Here's what I've learned from the NPR folks in Washington, D.C. NPR is the second most trusted source of news for registered Republicans after the Wall Street Journal. I was surprised when the lobbying and government team at NPR told me that, but they've done their research. Those are the stats they have. And then on Morning Edition this morning, they interviewed a former Republican governor who will not vote for Trump. And then right after that, they interviewed a former Republican governor who will vote for Trump. I really appreciate NPR bringing that balance to our listeners every morning. If you like that kind of news and information, please call and support us. Call 435-649-9004.
That's the number, and still we're hoping to hear from Frank Furr this morning to talk a little bit about his lecture series that he's going to be part of next week. Haven't seen him walk through the doors yet, but again, we're working on this call goal, still looking for 30-some calls. Do we have a couple more thank yous there to say?
I have one here from our very own at Deer Valley, Chris Lampe. Chris, thank you for donating.
Chris, thank you. 435-649-9004. Let's talk a little bit about the summer season. I know we got a lot of winter left, but you guys, are you releasing musical acts at this point?
Yeah, so we have, we will host the Utah Symphony again this summer, and then also work with the State Room Promotes for the Deer Valley Concert Series. So we have released two shows so far, Jason Isabel on July 13th and The Dead South on August 10th. And there will be more coming. We're working closely with the Symphony right now, and most likely that the entire series for the summer with the Symphony will be announced late March.
Okay. And then you're also working, like you said, with the State Room then to produce?
Yep. So both of the shows that we have announced so far are with the Deer Valley Concert Series with the State Room. And the reason those kind of roll in separate from like a full series announce is when, say, Jason Isabel or a Michael Franti or one of these big acts wants to announce their entire series, we kind of have to go. We can't dictate their schedule. So it's been a little, it's exciting. Those two shows are going to be great. And we're really excited to continue working with the Symphony and grow the Deer Valley Concert Series too.
Yeah. And it seems like I recall something about some improvements to the amphitheater itself. Have those already been made, or do you still have future?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of always, I would say, puttering around in our amphitheater. I think last summer, if you were able to attend, we did move the food court or kind of food village over to the other side and made quite a few improvements to the flow of traffic and ability to get a glass of wine or beer. Jacob had four beer trailers located in the venue, and I really think we heard a lot of positive feedback that it really made the experience much more enjoyable and easy, and so we'll continue to work on that. One of our biggest issues in that venue is all of the snow runoff comes down through that venue, so we had a swamp most of last summer that we had to work around, so we're trying to actually figure out how to best alleviate that and some other little things.
Okay. 435-649-9004. We're going to break for a quick interview, but we'll be back. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. 847 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, coming up next week, the Park City Library, as part of its local speaker series, presents local resident and retired Air Force Colonel Frank Fuzzy Furr as their next guest. He joins me now on the phone with a preview of his discussion. Good morning.
Good Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us. So the
thank you.
Yeah, the topic is FDR and Churchill, men of friendship and secrets. So what's your talk based on? I mean, is it research you've done of the two?
Yeah, I do some lecturing around at different places and also teach down at the University of Utah in the OSHA program, the Lifelong Learning Institute. And I've been giving a talk the last year or so on FDR and Churchill, and it's gone over very well. And so the library came to me and said, hey, you gave a talk last year and it went well. How about doing another one? So I thought I'd throw this one up and see if people enjoyed coming to it. It's an interesting topic. These two guys, of course, were just unbelievable during the Second World War. And in their friendship, as well as in their discussions, they had some areas of which they certainly didn't agree. And I just try to get into that and just show the difference between the two, both being tremendous leaders and both coming from kind of the same background and a rich family background and then into politics. And Churchill, of course, had an American mother. And so it was kind of a good time to have. So just discussing things like that during this talk, and I think people will enjoy it. To me, it's a topic of these two guys who have, throughout that period, had many different meetings, and just what went on during the meetings and who made what decisions and how that came about is kind of part of it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, why do you think it's important, though, that we continue to kind of dredge up old history? I mean, what can we learn from men from 80 years ago that's relevant today?
I think that how they maintain their friendship through some difficult times, for one thing, and how they were able to sit down and discuss things and come up with a reasonable compromise on some decision is something that I don't see these days. And I certainly would love to see within our political system.
Yeah. Maybe just talk a little bit about the unique traits of each man. I mean, Churchill, you know, he liked his drink. FDR is said to like relationships with women outside his marriage. I mean,
certainly did. I discussed all of that during the talk itself. They both had some quirks about them, if you want to call it that. Churchill actually had an affair early in the 30s that I kind of discussed, and he got over it because his wife found out about it and kind of put the hammer down. And the same thing happened with FDR. I'm sure that Eleanor knew what he was doing, and she just said that it's best for us to stay married, but let's keep this as quiet as we can. And she actually kind of forced him to give up his openness about it, but it didn't work that way. So, they both had times where they were not discreet enough with what they were doing. Churchill loved his drink, and he loved his cigars. But those were things that comforted him and gave him a chance to sit by himself and think through things as people would come up to him with different proposals of what was going on. So they met 11 times, even without Stalin being involved in it. And then once Stalin got in there, they certainly disagreed about what Stalin and the Soviet kind of position would be at the end of the war. And, of course, if you look at it now, it's the same type of thing. Who believes exactly what the Russian leader is saying today? He certainly believes in himself. And Stalin certainly believed in himself and the country, but knew he had to bring the war to a conclusion in Europe before he would actually engage in the war against Japan. And how that took place is kind of part of that discussion in there, too.
Okay.
Interesting men.
Yeah. So again, people can come find out a lot more. It's going to happen next Tuesday, March 12th, 4 to 5 p.m.
At the 4 to 5 p.m.
at the Park City Library. Again, to learn more about this relationship between these two men that is said, a friendship that saved the world. So sounds fascinating.
It did.
Frank?
And there's some great books, and people can get engaged with the books the library has on it.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks so much for your time.
Leslie, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That's Frank Furr. Again, March 12th, Tuesday, 4 to 5 p.m. at the Park City Library. Last 6 minutes here of the Deer Valley Challenge. I'm Leslie Thatcher along with Renee Bodley, and we have been working this last hour with Jacob Music and Susie English with Deer Valley, looking for phone calls from you at 435-649-9004. As we've been talking, February 2024 going down in the books as the snowiest month ever. Two great seasons for local resorts, and already looking ahead towards next season, Susie?
Yes, it's so crazy. We launched season passes and Icon Pass sales for next winter on March 14th. So pricing and website and emails will start rolling out on the 7th, which I think is tomorrow. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Losing track of my days and years. So we're excited. And the Deer Valley Season Pass will be unlimited, no reservations again. Icon Pass will stay the same. So no major changes. 5 days on the base plus 7 days on the full Icon with reservations required.
Okay. 435-649-9004. Do we have a couple more thank yous that came in during that last break?
Yeah, Steve Chin. Leslie and Renee are fabulous, and great to hear Georgia's still around at Deer Valley.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
Love her. This one's a special one for Leslie, Dar Hendrickson. I love Leslie.
Hey, Dar.
Thank you, Dar.
I have one here from Anthony Flores, Deer Valley's own tech wizard. It says, Jacob, Anthony is coming after you for some good food, and I think I do probably owe him a lunch for a few things.
Nice.
So, thanks, Anthony.
435-649-9004. Again, Jacob, you opened up kind of your hybrid with the seafood buffet. How's that worked out for you this
season? Awesome. The feedback is fantastic. The guests love it. The employees love it. It's a really cool experience, right? So we did Cast and Cut last year, gave us the opportunity to tweak the concept a bit. And since I've started at Deer Valley, the number one question I get asked, even in the grocery store, is where is the seafood buffet and when are you bringing it back and why did it go away? So we had the opportunity to open it up this year, and it's been a huge hit. And we've expanded the offering here and there throughout the season. And I think it's here to stay.
Yeah, so it's worked well for you guys.
It has.
Yeah. 435-649-9004. The brass tag as well. Is that going to be staying open through?
The brass tag will stay open through the ski season. So the last day of service, I believe, is April 14th, I think is the date. So.
Yeah. What is closing day this year? The 14th?
Our planned closing day is the 14th at this time. Mm-hmm. Okay. You never know with all the snow what will happen. But that's the plan right now.
Okay. Yeah. Second Sunday in April there.
Yes.
Yeah. Just real quick, if you want to give a $500 donation to support your local radio station, you will get a day ski lift pass to Deer Valley for next season, 24-25. That's for a $500 donation. And you not only do you get that one ski lift pass, you also get a $50 gift certificate to any Bill White restaurant and a $50 gift certificate to River Horse on Main. That is a great package. For $500, KPCW gets that $500. Deer Valley has donated that ski lift pass to us. So thanks to you guys for doing that.
All right. I think you also have expanded hours at the Deer Valley Cafe and Grocery as well.
Expanded hours?
I mean, you lengthened them, I think, from years past?
A little bit, yeah. So this right now, we're open in the morning for breakfast at 8, and we close at around 3:30. Uh-huh. And we're already talking about summer, which is, gosh, it's right around the corner, potentially doing some activations and some fun things in the evening as well over there. But we'll see what time tells. But yeah, super, super popular little cafe. Definitely the local spot. So what the locals want, we want to make sure we take care of them.
And for a $50 donation, you can get a $25 gift certificate to Deer Valley that you can use at the Deer Valley Grocery. Ah,
perfect. Tasty. The other spot, local spot, I would call out is the Sticky Wicket. I know Leslie has been there.
Yes.
But it's our new 21 and over bar that's upstairs from Royal Street. We've spent a lot of time this morning talking about food. It's making me hungry. But the Sticky Wicket is kind of this cool vintage, like, ski 80s, 90s vibe. The food is amazing, really unique drink offering. And it's been very popular. Really, really fun to have a spot to go hang out in.
Yeah, so it's the old kind of upstairs of the Royal Street Cafe, right?
Yep.
Is that the best way to explain it?
Yep.
Yeah, and then again, open après-ski, so people can just, if they stay and don't get the last chairlift, they can still take a bus down.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's open until 6 on the weekdays and 8 p.m. on the weekends.
Wow.
And so Jacob's team, you guys warn people when the chairlift's about to close, right?
Oh, yeah,
right?
So we make it a huge announcement. Like, if you're at the Sticky Wicket and you miss the lift, you're in a sticky wicket of a situation, for sure.
And, well, I mean, this may be, well, those of us have been skiing for a while, we remember what wickets are, right?
Yes.
Where you'd have to hang on your lift pass. But, great name for that. And then Wayne Wong still, he loves Deer Valley.
He loves Deer Valley. Yeah. Todd Bennett, our president, had reached out to him and was really excited about Wayne. And so we've kind of brought him under the Deer Valley family, and he's spending a lot of time with us, and he loves the Sticky Wicket. And it's been really fun to get to know him and watch all the excitement that surrounds him. It's been pretty cool.
I would say once a week, I either see Wayne Wong in there at the Sticky Wicket or another Olympian in the Sticky Wicket. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, and you even named a drink after him. It's a non-alcoholic drink, because I don't believe he drinks. It's called the Wong Banger.
The Wong Banger. So that's a drink he's been, it's been on the menu. Big fan. A lot of people love it, and it's something that he's kind of been drinking since he was big into skiing in the beginning. So, he requested that on the menu.
Yes.
So we had to put it on there.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to thank you first for your support of KPCW all of these years, and again for this morning. Again, people can always get more information online, deervalley.com. Thanks for your time as well.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW Park City.